week of Shop Tizoc with my man Will Not Dizzle.
We here up in here.
Week 17, commercial real estaters. Let's see, self-serving things first. Trinity Junction's playing the NAOP show, so.
That's not too self-serving because, it's good for everybody to go. I mean, you just happen to be playing music at it.
And then also we're playing May 11th at the Gastro Park.
That's self-serving.
Grand Prairie, so be there.
Gastro Park and Grand Prairie.
Gastro Pub, Gastro Park. It's pretty cool.
What time? It's old fire.
We'll probably start about 7:30. It's an old fire station they converted into like a cool little venue and bar.
What day? May 11th.
Saturday, May 11th.
All right.
Get it on your calendar, Will. There's a couple interesting things to go over, so let's get through the numbers real quick. Initial jobless claims come out this week. Forecast is 210K. Last week it was 211. Housing starts comes out tomorrow. The forecast is 1.47. Previous was 1.52. So those are the big things in economic calendar this week. The U.S. debt...
Oh, God.
It seems to be a steady $19 billion clip right now.
Okay.
But I want to kind of just really keep tracking this. You know, I don't know if that – I assume that clock's pretty accurate. But it'd be interesting, like, once they, like, you see them send a big aid package out or something like that, like, really significantly changes the numbers. So, that could be coming now with, golly, this past weekend.
Jeez.
We might have World War III going on here soon. So,
well, in Wall Street Journal's, one of their things is Mike Johnson's big decision: help Ukraine, Israel, or both. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
sure. Here we
go. All right, let's look at the indices. The Dow is down 2.4%. Closed out at 37,983 from 38,904. The S&P closed out at 51.23, down from 52.04, so down 1.5%. NASDAQ closed out at 16.175, down from 16.248, so down about 0.5%. And crude is down about 1.25% to $85.66 per barrel. Now, the 5-year and the 10-year jumped last week. Well, 5-year jumped to 4.5. And the 10-year jumped to 4.486. Mm-hmm. So, stocks. Real estate stocks got crushed last week because of inflation.
The inflation news
came out. Real estate development was down 8.68% for the largest loss leader, real estate development stocks. So, yeah, real estate stocks took a pounding because... inflation didn't really get curbed. So now you really wonder, are they going to cut rates in June like everybody's pricing in?
No, I've never thought they would.
I think after last week, it's really going to hurt it. So
yeah,
if that's the case, we'll keep doing owner finance deals.
Or 8% debt.
So let's just talk about that in news. So inflation, that was kind of the big thing last week, was that inflation didn't really get tamed
in
the last reading. So that's going to put more pressure on the market. I feel like everybody was thinking, hey, we're getting our second wind of 2022 maybe, and nope.
Yeah.
It's going to slow down. So,
yeah, I just wonder if they do it because they have to in order to kind of –
because the market's priced it in.
Well, no, because if it gets too, if our liquidity position as an economy just gets too constrained, and then you kind of open up the floodgates again, get some spending out there, get some money back in the market, the lower interest rates kind of stabilize it. Because it's only a matter of time before we start to contract. If not now.
Yeah.
Spending's not going down.
No, the spending is not changing. I feel like you go out to eat, you go to a restaurant, you go somewhere. I don't feel like restaurants have dropped their prices.
No.
I don't feel like, hotels are less booked.
Dude, my taxes and my insurance on my home are almost as much as my note payment. I'm within $100.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I believe it.
Like it's wild. My insurance has more than doubled since I bought my house.
Insurance is really the big thing that's kicking up hard right now.
Oh, it's crazy. It's nuts. I looked at it. I was just planning for next month and I'm like, what in the world? Kind of wild.
So speaking of contracting, WeWork failed to renegotiate 4 leases here in Dallas.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the one in Preston Center on the chopping block?
Williams Square in Irving.
Okay.
Victory Park in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Legacy Town Center in Plano and Legacy West in Plano.
I feel like Legacy West is getting kind of kicked in the balls recently.
A lot of their office stuff didn't really fill up.
Well, Bella also told me up there, the country's largest office vacancy is one of the Granite Towers, or is a building up in that submarket.
Yeah.
The country's largest single,
that little quadrant right there is a lot of vacancy.
Yeah.
It's all nice stuff too.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Have you been in Granite Park before?
I mean,
oh, it's nice.
I've been over those little restaurants there.
But yeah. No, the office buildings are beautiful.
Bella and I went and looked at somewhere at Hall Park to have our annual investor meeting.
Oh, I'm sure that stuff's gorgeous too.
So it was nice.
Yeah.
It's $10 to $15 a foot cheaper than the Star.
Nuts.
So this traffic continues to get worse. I will want to move further north. So they're keeping Preston Center, and it'll have 3 remaining company branded locations. It's definitely the Clear Fork Building in Fort Worth, 1920 McKinney Avenue in Uptown, and Preston Center in North Dallas.
Those are all kind of marquee areas.
Although, man, we actually looked at getting a little WeWork at Preston Center office.
Yeah, years ago.
And they didn't have any, there was no one in those offices back there, it didn't seem like.
No, it didn't seem very full.
I wonder if you get some cool space from the WeWork and Legacy West from the landlord.
Oh, I wonder if they just try to operate it themselves, or if they try to backfill with another competitor. They
might. That might be the way to do it. Just operate it themselves. Keep all the tenants.
Because the finish out's got to be, has a lot of glass. Yeah. I don't know. They don't know office finish out numbers, but crazy.
This story's awesome.
What?
Vietnamese developer sentenced to death for $12 billion fraud.
That's a lot of loot.
That ain't that. How about the Vietnamese government being like, hey, we don't play this. Yeah. We're just going to kill you.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Could you imagine if Nate Paul had to be faced with being murdered?
You jump down, turn around, get it all fixed real quick.
Wow. Vietnamese developer Trong Mai Lan was sentenced to death for her role in a wide-ranging multi-billion-dollar financial fraud. Lan's fraud amounted to $20 billion in financial damages, roughly 5% of Vietnam's GDP.
Oh, wow.
According to the New York Times, Lan, who founded and chaired Van Thin Fat Group, I don't know.
PHAT. Yeah.
Was arrested in 2022 and charged of bribery, violating banking regulations, and embezzling more than $12 billion from Saigon Commercial Bank, one of the country's largest banks.
Jeez.
What was she doing with it all? What's his name? Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
And this is like Bernie Madoff of Vietnamese, but they're like, we're going to kill you.
Funding his lifestyle or her lifestyle.
Prosecutors found that Lan used her majority ownership stake in Saigon Commercial to pressure officials into granting her massive withdrawals from the bank between 2018 and 2022, pushing it into a liquidity crisis. A panel of judges handed down the death penalty, ruling along with 20 years for each of her other charges.
That's nuts.
You're going to be serving even when you're dead.
Yeah.
Lan has denied any wrongdoings, and she will appeal her sentence, the Washington Post reported. An additional 85 people have been charged alongside her, including her husband, who received 9 years prison sentence, and her niece, who got 17 years. Wow. All you syndicators, get it together. You might get killed. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's a little extreme, but I mean,
I guess, what do people get killed for? Killing other people in America?
Yeah, pretty much. Like child molestation, stuff like that. Actually, I don't even think that. I think it's pretty much.
You have to murder somebody.
You have to murder somebody. But damn, but that's a big of enough of an impact to a country where it's like, someone's going to die.
I just think it's interesting that they're going to actually kill you for that.
Yeah. It's just a different place.
It probably won't happen again.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like, yeah, that'll nip it in the butt real quick.
I mean, we're all about reform over here. Yeah. They're all about like, cut you.
F around and find out. Yeah. You know, like.
It's nuts. So, but anyways, that's kind of all I got for this week.
I got three things.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce the name of this company. Was it SAIA? Say?
SAIA.
SAIA.
Motor Freight.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They opened up 17 new terminals or slating to. So they're growing, which is good. That affects our business directly. Looks like they bought something Garland from TFI. And they got a $1 billion expansion plan between here, so Texas, Montana. Between Texas and Montana, they're spending about $1 billion to expand.
Wow.
Kind of.
I saw that. I saw that on CoStar this weekend.
Yeah, which is good. And that seems to kind of come in the wake of the Yellow. This is moving on. Yellow's top bidder fell out.
Oh, really? Who was their top bidder?
Jack Cooper Transport.
Hmm.
Looks like who is leading the bid. So the group formally withdrew its latest offer on Friday last week, which would have been April 12th. After failing to get engagement from Yellow as the trucker auctions off facilities and equipment in the bankruptcy, it's unclear. This is the CEO. Amico said it was unclear how much could have been left to start a new going concern. It sounded like they owed about $1.3 billion and they've raised more than $2 billion. In terms of just terminal sales and equipment sales.
They got some nice sites.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like it's not really a distressed situation anymore. When that came out, remember the frenzy was just stupid. Everybody was like, oh my God, who reps them? Find out. Buy. And like, I don't know. I think the two of us, there's a guy at CB, Joe Summers, that we talked to about it.
Yeah.
He's like, this is not going to be a problem for them. They're just going to, all their terminals are going to be bought up. I think CB represents them. I can't remember, but.
Maybe Burr and Timken.
Yeah, some big group. But and then third thing, which I thought was really interesting, Roofer LLP, it's a UK-based asset management firm, is making the biggest ever bet on cash. A shrinking U.S. liquidity boosts the possibility of a violent market reversal. So basically, they're moving all their assets to cash. Two-thirds of their assets now sit in cash.
Are they moving it to American cash or UK cash?
I'm not sure. The income from that stash is being funneled into insurance policies in the form of credit default swaps and U.S. stock options that will profit in the event of a bigger decline for Wall Street. The reason basically is...
Who is taking credit default swaps?
I'm not sure. But basically,
it's got to be your big insurers, right? Your AIGs and all that. Yeah. Didn't they learn their lesson? They did learn their lesson. The government will just pay for it.
Well... They also become, when they hit certain thresholds, they become systemically important. I forget what the terminology is. I learned a lot about it because when my dad was at AIG, they had a lot more regulations on them. And it's just, he was a small group guy and he's just like, what? After whatever happened, those regulations kicked in and became somewhat of like an encumbrance on the day-to-day.
Yeah.
And I think finally MetLife is no longer, they had to sell off some business units to become not systemically important.
Yeah.
Which IE's like Chase Bank, Bank of America, but I'm sure that's kind of that whole game. But basically, they think there's excessive optimism over U.S. interest rate cuts, which have left markets priced close to perfection, fueling a Black Monday-style liquidity risk as the U.S. Central Bank continues to wind down its bond buying program, Smith said. Even as the latest hot U.S. inflation print dims the outlook for U.S. easing, Ruffer's view is still among the most bearish in the market. So they're a little worried about an 87 deal. So interesting, pretty contrarian, but there was just a comment. We're at a point in time where, though they said we have two investment objectives. One is capital preservation. The second is deliver a better return than cash, but is secondary to objective. We've had a regime change from a ceiling of 2% inflation to a floor of 2% inflation. That means structurally interest rates and inflation are headed higher, which I thought was kind of a, I was like, oh, interesting.
Make for some good buys. I'm just shocked that people are taking to credit default swaps.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I mean, I like the bet.
Yeah. So. But no, I think that we've had a regime change from a ceiling of 2% to a floor of 2%. That's I've not heard anybody say that before, mm-hmm. which is a total mind shift change.
Right. No, it's, well, I would like to talk more about that, but I think we would have to take a, like, here's my term of the week.
Yeah.
Deep dive.
Okay.
That's a good one.
It is a deep dive.
Oh, we have to do a deep dive on this.
Then you're going to circle back.
A deep dive means I'm going to read some spreadsheets and type in some numbers.
Yeah.
Read some.
Bifurcate some issues.
I'm going to call some guys to give me comps.
Oh, yeah. And then you can feed it to Dylan.
We got an analyst finally. Yes. We grew up.
Yeah.
Growing up around here.
So Dylan joined the team last week on mm-hmm. Thursday.
That's right.
Great kid. So far, so good. But when you're submitting deals, interacting with us now, you'll be interacting with him too. So
yep.
Don't leave him off the email thread.
Please. You could leave me off.
Yeah. Leave Jeremy, but let Dylan do the deep dive.
Let him do the deep dives. So one other thing I'll tell people, if anyone's interested, we're going to have our investor annual meeting here in a month.
Yep.
We're confirming the date today. It'll either be Wednesday, May 15th or Thursday, May 16th. We're shooting for Wednesday, May 15th. If you're interested in a deep dive into Matador, you know, we'll have some people there that, you know, maybe you're interested in investing with us or, you know, maybe brokers are interested in seeing what we do. And so if you have any interest in maybe attending that meeting, mm-hmm. we'll be hosting it here in Frisco, but seats are limited. So
reach out to Bella.
Yeah. Reach out to Isabella and, or any of us and tell us you'd like to be there and, we'll get you on the list.
But you must act now.
Yeah. So for $99 right now,
you can get in an afternoon training session with Jeremy Mercer.
Yeah. This is a $4,000 value, but we're doing it now for $9.97.
Baller Busters.
Yeah.
Limited edition.
Yeah. So, but yeah, anybody interested in that, let us know. So, well. Don't go commit fraud this week, especially not in Vietnam. They'll kill you.
See ya.
See ya.